So we turn, I believe now to the scripture. And so this is the scripture we hear every year at this time. It's probably the only time that we hear it. And yet I find that when I revisit it, that every year I hear something different. And before Pia reads this first part of the scripture, I'll share with you what I was hearing this year is just the context, the radical context of this scripture, and hearing it through Mary's experience. Here we have probably a 14, 15-year-old, not much older than that, who is looking forward to her life as a wife and a mother of, and is engaged to a man who has some standing in the community. He is from the lineage of David. And he was an established, we don't know this, but he was an established carpenter from all that we do know. And she was visited by an angel, which I think we can say is never a really good thing, or was never a really safe thing. Not good, but safe. It's never a safe thing. And what the angel brings to her is a possibility of turning her life completely upside down. Because as a pregnant, unmarried woman in her time, she potentially could have lost everything that she was looking forward to. She would have been considered impure and therefore not worthy of being wed. And despite that, her response to this angelic greeting is not to slam the door in his face and saying, no way, no how, but is to say, let it be done according to me, according to thy word. So Pia, if you would bless us with the word.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her.
So before Karen goes to read the second part of the scripture today, I add a little note of commentary that when Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, and it says in her old age, which was probably late 30s, 40s, we encounter two miraculous deeds, two miracles. Two women are pregnant. One was barren and is now pregnant. And the other is a virgin and is now pregnant. And yet what is amazing news for one, for Elizabeth, who had was unable to conceive. And so again, her standing in her culture was suspicious. She must have done something that she couldn't conceive, that her very stature in the community depended on her not only delivering a child, but delivering a male child. And so she has been saved from that fate by her pregnancy, by carrying John. And yet that same miracle to Mary was potentially the end of her life as she knew it, the end of her engagement, the end of her status in her culture. And so we come to this reading realizing that what is a miracle in both cases could have been received in two very different ways. So Karen, if you would read the scripture for us.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Thank you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. So, I have on my desk upstairs several pages of well-crafted, brilliant writing on the Annunciation, which I've hung on to waiting for their brilliance, their utter brilliance, I should say, to become a sermon. And over the last 7 days, I've preached a dozen clever, erudite sermons while driving back and forth to work, any one of which, if you had heard them, would have changed your life. But you won't hear any of them this morning because the message of the narrative is simple. And the more times I found that the more I tried to complicate it with fancy words, the simpler it became. So here it is. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. He brought with him a message. God has chosen Mary to give birth to God incarnate, God with us in flesh, alive in a newborn babe. Would she agree to be the one to carry God's promise into the world? That's it. It's that simple. Mary was a young, innocent girl, anticipating a life as a wife and a mother with all its joys and challenges. The unexpected visit from the angel turned her future upside down. And yet, she said yes to the angel's query. Now, we aren't privileged to hear whether she wrestled with her response before agreeing, But I expect her yes didn't come without some difficult weighing of the consequences. We all have within us a promise from God that will transform the world in big ways and in small. Now, the promise may involve simply responding in kindness when you'd rather get pissy, when you're in the face of anger, when you encounter someone who is angry. Or it may involve making a welcoming home for a refugee beaten down by violence and fear. We all hold within us the seed of God's transforming promise. And each of us is called to give birth to that promise. Yet it is our choice, yours and mine. It is our choice, just as it was Mary's, to say yes or to say no. Are our yeses and nos on par with Mary's? Well, no and yes. Mary was asked to be the vehicle through which God's one and only Son would be born into the world. So no, it's unlikely that any one of us will be asked to carry the living God in our wombs. But each one of us is asked to be the vehicle through which God is able to act in the world. We are the only hands and feet, the only mouthpiece, the only silent witness, the only instrument through which God acts on this planet. So yes, the decisions we make day to day and moment to moment may not give actual birth, but through our yeses, God's transformative power comes alive. I told a friend the other day that one of the things I love about this church is that we're really good at crafting our own sermons out of the collective experience of our lives. And because of this, I turn over at this point what could have been my sermon to you, knowing that Gabriel's questions are as alive in us today as they were in Mary 2,000 years ago. And I also turn this over to you because I know that the only true transformation comes when each of us wrestles with the yeses and the noes in our lives. And so, with Gabriel, I ask, what is the promise from God that has been planted in you and which you have been asked to give birth to? Again, what is the promise from God that has been planted in you and to which you have been asked to give birth? And perhaps more importantly, will you say yes? And so I open up the field here, all you sermonizers with experience outside of my own, help me write this sermon. What are those seeds of promise that are planted in you? And perhaps Charlotte and Susie can help me see raised hands. Or we can sit in silence.
Pia. Years ago, there was a prophecy that was said over me that I would have a healing and witnessing ministry. And I have it in my heart when Jesus says, you know, these things and more shall you do in my name because you believe in me. And I have on my heart to be a conduit for the truth of God and the power of God and the healing of God and the saving of God. And somehow I feel like I'm somewhere in the birth canal.
Amen. I saw Allison and I see Karen. Allison, go ahead.
I think that the at the time of my son's death, the startup of the Pinnacle, I actually heard my name called twice, Allison. And so that's how the Pinnacle began.
Thanks, Allison. That's really tender. I see Karen, maybe. little candle emergency, and then we'll go.
I am. Really, Sue, what came to my mind was how was loving the, you know, choosing the promise of love, loving everyone. And what that means is pretty scary, actually, because that doesn't mean just loving the people I like, but it means loving the people that I have said I, you know, that I've had judgment about for sure. And so it just makes me think about, you know, making that choice or what, you know, really uncovering that seed that you're describing. There's a total unknown about what that means, you know, in my own life.
Thank you.
Sue, I'm struck by a command in the scripture today that will come up a whole bunch of times in our seasonal readings, the command to not be afraid. And I think, especially in these times, that's something that I really need to take to heart and to try to spread. I think fear is, well, there is sensible fear in self-preservation and teaching children not to touch hot wood stoves. But it is so constantly exploited and used against those who have no power. And it is used in exactly antithesis of what Karen is speaking about, to set people apart and against one another so that they actually fear loving the other. So if I feel a call, it's to quell my own fear and to be braver and to help, to try to spread that non-fear, the rest assured feeling that we all need.
Matt?
I feel like they have a calling to change destructive generational cycles and habits into constructive ones.
That has impact that goes down the generations. That's amazing. I think sometimes of, you know, there's sort of a, there's a, I don't know if it's Midrash or where, you know, where it shows up, but there are stories that Mary wasn't the first one approached. And others said, no. And Mary said, yes. And on the one hand, let's sort of lift up the fact that Mary said yes, but it's also possible that the other people's call was not to say yes to that, right? I mean, I think about sometimes I want to lean into the strong and courageous yes. And sometimes I feel that I'm called to set boundaries in which I say no to something that maybe I really want to say yes to, or to something that somebody else wants me to say yes to. And I feel like there's some lesson in that too, that sometimes that no is the healthiest answer.
Well, and also, Susie, that by saying yes to something that you are not it is not your calling, you rob somebody else from saying yes.
Right. Yeah. Ray?
I was given unmistakable marching orders as to my true calling a generation ago. And every time I hear the story of Jonah read, I think, oh yeah, I did that in 1988. Oh yeah, I've been doing that for a long time. And it is, it's something that is always on my mind. Now, as I approach the at least statistical end of my life, thinking of how much time is left to me to do what I was charged to do by the people I loved. And well, I'll leave it at that.
Guess who?
Yeah.
Me?
You.
Okay, so one time I had this dream, and in this dream, I was in the belly of the whale. And I had been there so long that I decorated the place. I put curtains on the windows, had a nice wood stove. I was just saying, okay, God, I'll just live here, for, you know, and it touched my heart that somehow I had to get down to business with God and not spend the rest of my life in the belly of the whale.
I see Jenny.
Well, I don't have a clear sense of where I was sent, but I'm trying to make myself open and listen and be available. But I just wanted to address the way that the lesson and the sermon struck me is that I was kind of surprised, because the way I had been thinking about it and been hearing that story is that Mary didn't get a sense of being asked. I think she was told. I don't think she thought she had the option of refusal, especially in her culture, even from strangers, even a stranger who asks you to do something. I don't think saying no was the thing for a young woman ever. And it was just an announcement and a warning to explain in a way what was going to happen and what was she was going to feel like very shortly. And I'm great for her that she was so positive about it. But what was her, what did she know really? Maybe it was frightening, but it was, the unknown is frightening, but I think in that setting, the unknown is all around all the time. There's always surprises coming up, and I'm astonished by all kinds of things that happen day to day too.
Is it Karen and Lee? Karen and then Lee.
Allison, your comment reminded me that some years ago I was asleep and I heard my name and being called, and I woke up. And I don't remember actually at this stage what I was dreaming about. But what I want to say is that what it reminds me of is that life is actually a mystery. That there are, Sue and I have talked about this, I think that there are veils between worlds that we don't see. And as you know, we've been educated to not see those, that there's more to reality than what we see. And so I just wanted to offer that up in this time, which is, it is just a reminder to me that everything is not explainable, and living with that and actually embracing that is another seed for me a reminder of that's been my life, and wanting to continue to be there.
So I agree with Jenny, and you know, the cultures between now and then are so, I never thought of this until this morning, but the cultures are so incredibly different. If in this day and age, somebody even implanted with in vitro fertilization to a 15-year-old, there would probably be some charges for, because 15 is not at the age of consent. And what a patriarchal society we have come from, and where are we going? And I'm glad we live in a society that now, today, that would say a 15-year-old is not old enough to decide whether or not she should become pregnant. Boy, that kind of blew my mind, and I hope I didn't. Anyway, just a thought.
Anyone else?